Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. This year's Yidstock is virtual. The Festival of New Yiddish Music will feature a dozen artists from around the globe performing Yiddish songs of social justice. It's a 75-minute event that will stream on July 11th. All begins at 4 p.m., but once you get the ticketed link, it'll be good for 72 hours. Yidstock is the annual event from the Yiddish Book Center in Amherst, Massachusetts. We are joined by two dear friends to tell us all about it. We welcome Yidstock Artistic Director Seth Rogofoy, author of The Essential Klezmer, A Music Lover's Guide to Jewish Roots and Soul, who is also here as a WAMC correspondent. And Seth, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Joe, it's been so long.
And too long.
I got to tell you, you look great.
Thank you. And same to you. You look great. You sound great. I'm very happy to have you here. Thank you. Also with us, our other great friend, Lisa Newman, Director of Communications of the Yiddish Book Center in Amherst. And Lisa, how are you?
I am well and lovely to hear you. But I wish I were in the studio with you. And I will also, if I may, it's Director of Publishing and Public Programs these days, so I don't want to steal the thunder from our new Communications Director.
I'm sorry.
But lovely to be on air. That's not a problem.
I went back to a previous archive, and I did not check that, and I apologize for that error on my part.
Our bad for not sending it to you.
Okay.
All good. And great to be talking about Yidstock with you.
Wonderful. All right. So let's talk about Yidstock. So you were you virtual last year, or did you just skipped last year?
We just skipped last year, which was really hard, and then had to make the hard decision this year as to whether or not to go on the virtual or go with something live. And it was just apparent that virtual was the way to go for this year. And we're at least delighted that we're bringing something back to our audience.
So when you decide you're going virtual, let's go to you, Seth, of what that becomes, of how you say, okay, this is how we're going to program this.
Yeah, well, thank you. Know, so here's the situation. Obviously, live is, I don't want to say better, but, there's a reason that performance is live and that audiences are in the room with the musicians. However, I saw this. All right, this is the situation. It's going to be virtual. What an opportunity we have actually now because of that to do something a little different. And that is to expand our reach both in terms of geographical. And when I say that, I mean our reach of artists, both geographically and who we invite to take part. Because we came up with this idea of having a dozen different artists self-produce their own videos of themselves performing songs that accord with the overall theme of the event, which is Yiddish songs of social justice, which just as an aside, like pretty much any Yiddish concert you go to, you're going to hear Yiddish songs of social justice because that's a huge part of the tradition of Yiddish songs. But this obviously allowed us to reach across the globe, for example, because we didn't have the expense of, bringing full bands of people, travel expenses and hotel expenses. And it also gave us a chance to bring in some of our favorite and most popular performers that we have very often, but also, and this is what's really exciting, to to introduce a whole bunch of new people who haven't been to Amherst, who haven't performed live on the stage, but to introduce them to our audiences and with a song. And so the artists responded by sending their great performances. And what's also beautiful is that because, you know, we had some basic guidelines of timing and how it, you know, that it needs to look and sound good. But the artists responded across the board in terms of how they presented themselves. So some were pretty straightforward, you know, playing guitar, singing a song, that yep. kind of thing. Worked really well for that. Others took advantage of the medium itself, the video medium, and, you know, did some little experimental stuff if that suited their material. So there's going to be a wide range, not only of you know, a dozen different artists, but also what it's all going to look like. But it all fits together with the overall theme of Songs of Social Justice.
So, Lisa, talk a little bit about that theme and ultimately how it fits in the overall mission with the Yiddish Book Center.
Sure. We themed it to songs related to social justice, and this is in conjunction with our decade of discovery. Last year in 2020 was our 40th anniversary, and we launched a new initiative called the Decade of Discovery, and every year for 10 years we will be presenting programming around a specific theme. This year the theme is social justice, so it seemed natural to sort of peg that for Yiddstock and assess that it's really worked well in terms of there's a large reservoir of existing material, and a lot of this is drawn from the literature, from poems, et cetera, and also existing songs. And then, as is always the case, we have artists who are reimagining and sort of rethinking how these pieces are presented. And I would add one thing to what Seth said, which is, you know, it going virtual with this, you or I worry a little bit about, you know, how do you do this and have the same experience. And I was just really struck when I saw the recordings that were sent in by the musicians. There's an intimacy that I didn't think would be there, and creativity. It's really quite something. So that's my personal take on it.
Yeah, I mean, that is right, Seth. I mean, that intimacy is something that is so special about live performance. But in this, to have it come right into your home or wherever you're viewing it from is really special, too.
It is. It's like from their home, from their living room to your living room. And so it's so beautiful. And, you know, they each talk a little bit about why they chose the song they're about to sing. And it's also, you know, it's a song-based program. Yiddstock mixes instrumental klezmer music with Yiddish songs and other genres. But here, you know, everybody's focusing in on the song, but their unique interpretation according to, you know, their style as artists. So that would... you know, that's one thing which really makes it special. And when we're talking about the artists, you know, we have members of the Klezmatics who perform almost at every Yiddstock. Frank London and Lauren Sklamberg are going to be there. We have the great Yiddish vocalist Eleanor Risa, who is with us almost every year performing. And Daniel Kahn, who often performs at Yiddstock. But we have Daniel Kahn coming from Berlin, from his living room with a couple of musician friends there. And then we have new artists. We have a woman named Nikki Jacobs from Amsterdam. And I mean Amsterdam, the Netherlands, not like Amsterdam, New York.
Yes. you know, both have, impressive, but still, this one,
yes,
the other
absolutely.
Amsterdam. Right.
Yes, we have Sveta Kundish and Patrick Farrell, also from Berlin, and making their Yiddstock debut. It was very, very exciting, and you know, there's such a great range. But the yes, I want to underline, Lisa really put it so well, that what we wound up with is, I mean, we knew it was going to be great, but the artist went far above and beyond just sitting there and playing a song. You know, they really made it special.
Lisa, talk about the overall of what this event was and what it's become over the many years. This, because this will be the ninth, right?
No. I think, let's see.
Or did you not?
2012, yes, something anyway. It just seems like 100 years.
Yeah, no. Okay. I understand fully. I understand fully, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you've known us since the first of all of these. We started out, this was the idea of our executive director, Susan Bronson, and we started out working with Seth on this, and it was a couple of days. It's grown into being 4 days. You know, one of the amazing things about the virtual is it's allowing us to have, you know, as large an audience as is possible, and for people in international time zones to also drop in. We have always sold out Yidstock. It's a huge part of the summer here. We do miss having everybody in the building. There's an excitement that is just is lacking in the building as we begin to bring people back in. We're really happy to welcome visitors, and we would have loved to have had people here for Yidstock. It's part of many people's summer plans, and they come back year after year. It's an extension of the work we do. It draws from the work we do in terms of rescuing the literature, doing the translations, and speaks to the idea that, you know, Yiddish is played out, no pun intended, in all aspects of cultural production, as they say. And that's always exciting to us. It also speaks to the idea of, you know, regeneration and reimagination, in that there is, you know, sort of this a new generation and an older generation, all of whom are taking this material and presenting it and performing it in new, innovative ways, and also drawing from the, you know, the roots. So it's always very exciting for us to be able to present this. And I think what we've ended up with as a virtual program does it proud as well.
The virtual program will go online Sunday, July 11th at 4 p.m. So how does that work for folks who are interested?
So if they could hop on over to the World Wide Web, as I like to say, yiddishbookcenter.org/Yidstock, you'll find all the information. We do, it's a ticketed event, and purchase a ticket. We will be sending out a link in advance of the program, beginning at Sunday, July 11th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be streaming this for 72 hours. So anybody who purchases a ticket can watch it for the 72 hours or watch it back, as we say, which is a nice aspect of this as well. So again, it's yiddishbookcenter.org/Yidstock.
/Yidstock, and we'll give that information again at the end of our segment. Seth Rogovoy, talk a little bit about this, about the music, and when we talk about, you know, the overall theme of how reflective it is of what we've been going through over the last year and a half, almost 2 years. Not to mention
yeah, thanks, right.
4 years, dot, dot, dot.
Right, exactly. Thank you for asking that question. That's perfect. So, you know, yes, a lot of the material that people will hear it ranges from late 19th century to early 20th century labor anthems, protest songs, humanitarian odes, songs of struggle, and songs based in Yiddish poetry and Jewish scripture. You know, and they were responding to things like pogroms and ghettoization, and wanting to, you know, be free of the czar, and you know, and idealists who maybe ascribe to particular political philosophies or ideologies, and so that's the material that the artists are drawing from, and what is clear when you watch these dozen songs is that, you know, the more things change, the more things remain absolutely, totally the same. So that all of these songs, every single one, could have been written certainly in the last year and a half, and you know, definitely in the last 4 years. That's no secret, and I think that will be quite evident. Because where Yidstock is the festival of new Yiddish music, we have material that is either was written and sung early on, or we but the presentation is always very contemporary because we ask the artists to be themselves, to speak in today's accent and language.
Right.
And we also have brand new material, which was produced, you know, written either in the last few years or very specifically for this particular Yidstock. So we range that gamut. And yeah, it's very resonant and relevant, I would say.
Lisa?
Joe, may I jump in as I'm wanted to do
absolutely.
With you? You know, so usually part of Yidstock is also we do talks and workshops and things like that. So we decided to add, we're doing virtual public programs all the time on a weekly basis here, and we've added a couple that are sort of bookending Yidstock this year. So if folks are interested in some of the context that surrounds these songs, we have programming beginning tomorrow night, and those are songs of, it's an amazing archive that was recovered of protest songs from Eastern Europe. That's tomorrow, Wednesday. And Thursday we have a conversation with a few of the performers, and then the following week Seth will be on talking about sort of protest music, Jewish protest music in the 60s and stuff like that. So there's also information about that on our website under the events, and we encourage people to come to those talks.
Seth, let me tap into your knowledge as the author of The Essential Klezmer and give us a sense, as you were saying, new music. So give us a sense of the state of klezmer music right now.
Well, you know, it's very exciting because you've got people who are still rediscovering old songs. And when, you know, when I say old, 100 years old, 60 years old, or 150 years old. So you have that. You have people who are integrating all different kinds of musical fusions. So, you know, there's the basic DNA of Yiddish music and klezmer, which has a certain sound, which when people hear it, they recognize it. It's a little bit reminiscent of cantorial music or synagogue music. It's often upbeat, fun dance music. But then what we have now at this point, that this music has been totally studied and revived and people are familiar with it, we have all kinds of, I don't even want to call it experimentation, because music always evolves. I mean,
right.
Think of classical music and the difference between, you know, from Bach to Mozart to Beethoven. I mean, you know, Bach to Beethoven is extraordinary, the leaps. So it's really no different with Yiddish music. It's you can have influences from, let's say, Greek music or Indian music or certainly jazz, obviously rock, funk. The question is just, you know, how is the balance? And in particular in Yidstock, the artists that we have, I like to say, have one foot in the shtetl and the other foot in the downtown avant-garde.
Mm.
And as long as they, you know, keep a balance, you don't want one foot too far in one or one in the other, or you'll topple. It's very exciting and it's you know, very contemporary. So the state of it, we have whole new generations. You know, this whole revival began in the 1970s, and here we are in the 2020s. Yikes! So 50 years on. If my math is correct,
you're right.
It probably isn't. So we have all new generations, you know, several generations who learned from the original revivalists who are now taking it to exciting new places. And, you know, it's not just about klezmer hip hop, which does exist, but sometimes they're going back and they're, well, I love this kind of 1940s big band music. And, you know, there was Jewish music, Yiddish music at that time, and let's recreate that. That's something that Michael Winograd, who is often at Yidstock, ventures into sometimes. So it's really a very vital time where people are writing new songs that speak to the contemporary urgencies of our day, or, you know, are just a lot of fun.
That's right, or just a lot of fun, which is nothing wrong with that. The virtual Yidstock takes place online beginning July 11th at 4 p.m., yiddishbookcenter.org for more information, yiddishbookcenter.org. Lisa, we have 20 seconds. Anything you want to mention?
No, I hope you'll all be listening. Thanks for all you're doing over there at WAMC to keep us all sane during these last many months.
I am only sad not to see your shining faces, but I know next year we'll be back here, and that will be wonderful. Seth Rogovoy, Lisa Newman, best to you. Thank you so much. Again, you can find out more at yiddishbookcenter.org. Thank you both. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.